Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Junkies Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, Mike McShane. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how are we doing today, Jonathan?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, I got to tell you, as you well know, I was up going early yesterday, Sunday. And, you know, I was reading comments left and right all over the place almost all day long over Facebook. People depressed over the fact there was no football yesterday on Sunday. And, you know, the funny thing is, and I'll give you a little insight into my day, and I'm sure your day was somewhat similar. Here at the frat house, you know, we've got 2-3 TVs going all the time, right?
Yeah.
So this is how I get by the depression. This is how you get by. Folks, listen up. This is what you got to do. You want to get by that depression? This is what you do. You start out at 12:30 with the Red Wings and the Kings. A half hour later, you got the Knicks and the Clippers going yesterday because you reminded me, you know, hey, Mike, that game's on, so I quick put that one on. So those two games are going simultaneously. Immediately after the Knicks-Clippers, I go to the Lakers-Heat, all right? While that's on, I got Duke-Boston going simultaneously, so I'm checking out the NCAA basketball, and then I finish up the night with the Penguins-Devils. How about that?
Hey, man, it's about time you're watching some basketball and some hockey, huh? Look at that, man. I'm proud of you.
At the same time, what am I doing? I'm helping line up guests for Friday this week. And I'm banging out an article on the Phillies for a couple of other websites that I write for. Hey, now, guys, I'm telling you, listen, if you think that we aren't working on the weekend, think again.
Yep, we always work on the weekend, Mike. That's just the way it works.
And that's how you get by depression. You know, if you're upset that there's no football, well, then just find something else. There's plenty to do.
I actually wasn't upset that there wasn't any football, to be honest. You know, watched some basketball, watched the Rangers game last night. So, you know, I was pretty content yesterday.
Well, you're probably thrilled because the NFL is right where you want them. They're in off season.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love off season.
You love off seasons, man.
Listen, man, I've always been a fan of the trades, the free agents, the drafts, the acquisitions. I just, you know, to me, that's an exciting part of the game. You know, I look forward to it. You know, that's how I got my break in sports. Mike was covering, you know, drafts and covering, you know, free agency and trade deadlines for various New York City outlets. So
okay, well, if that's the case, then I'll tell you what, I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass if that's what your background is. I got you.
Yeah, you have to, man. I got you.
All right. Man. Well, see, this is what you. If anybody out there thinks that we ain't doing our homework, well, they need to think again.
Exactly. We're always doing our homework. But before we get started, I just want to say on Wednesday we have a good guest coming on, Mike. Something a little bit different here on Fan Junkies Radio. Joining us at around the 12:15 mark on Wednesday is Dwight Baird. Dwight Baird lives in Canada, Mike.
Yep.
He is the creator of Extra Innings, which is a baseball board game strategy, built on cards. You know, the board is a baseball field. The pieces are base runners and players. We've played it here at Fan Junkies Radio. We love it. It's a lot of fun, and to me, you know, Dwight is one of those guys trying to get baseball board games to come back. So, you know, sort of like Strat-O-Matic baseball, but it's more of a, you know, it's definitely not Strat-O-Matic baseball, Mike. You know, it's pretty cool. It is. It's like, you know, poker built in with baseball. It's a lot of fun. So he's going to be joining us on Wednesday to talk about that, and we're going to try to compare it a little bit to the Strat-O-Matic craze of the 70s.
So you mean this is a game, there's no controller?
No.
How do you play this? There's no controller.
Dice and paper cards. I mean,
dice?
This, yeah.
Dice?
This is, we're going back to the 80s here, Mike.
80s? Dude, I remember the 60s.
Well, listen, man. You might remember the 60s, but us young guys don't. So. You talk about the 60s all you want, Mike.
I have, yes.
And you have before, so.
And Friday now we've got a guest.
Yes, we do. Go ahead, and I'll let you talk about that one.
Yeah, Friday we've got for those of you that are motorsports fans, a gearhead like myself, you might realize that NHRA season opens up. That's the National Hot Rod Association. Drag racing opens up this weekend. NASCAR opens up next weekend with Daytona, but NHRA season opens this week with the Winter Nationals out at Pomona. And we will have on NHRA competitor driver John Capps. Now, yes. Those of you that follow NHRA might recognize the last name. Ron Capps is a funny car driver who is consistently competing for, usually for the championship, up there with some of the best in the funny car division. And his younger brother, John, will be on with us. He'll be talking, and he'll be calling, actually, what will be really kind of neat, Jonathan, is he will be calling, he'll be calling us from Pomona, from the site of the Winter Nationals. So we will get the lowdown on what's happening there on Friday. I would imagine qualifying will be going on that day.
That's pretty cool.
You saw some of the stuff that these drag racers do. These guys are going 315 miles an hour in 4 seconds.
Yeah, pretty sick. Pretty sick, man. I was watching that one race where he beat
John Head,
and wow, his car was sliding left to right, up, down, sideways. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah. So this should be a lot of fun. This John's been somebody we've been wanting to go on for a little while, and we thought that the most appropriate time would be right at the beginning of the new NHRA season.
Yes. That's good. You know, for the racing fans, that's great. And for the people like me who really don't know racing, I'll be in the chat room and on Twitter while Mike and John Capps have a blast here.
No. You, listen. You know, can I be honest, Jonathan? I really only became a motor sports fan, I'd say, about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I was not one to sit around and watch drag racing, but I got to tell you something. I've been down to numerous tracks live. And once you see this stuff, once you're there live, you will be hooked forever. It's just one of the most amazing things. When these cars are flying by you and the entire ground is shaking underneath your feet, it's invigorating.
Well, Mike, I have one question for you, though.
Yeah.
Do you wear noise-canceling headphones at the track?
You have to wear. I'm going to tell you, for NHRA, you have to wear something in your ears. You
really?
Have to. Yeah.
I have to.
There is no – particularly if you are ground level, you can't – there's no way you can't. It will blow your ears out.
Sweet, man. I got to go.
Oh, yeah. Listen, more than happy to join us. We'll be going to Englishtown this year in May, and then we'll be going out to Maple Grove in October.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, that's for the next two shows that we're having here, you know, two guests in a row. And then, you know, the week following that is our NASCAR week. Correct?
Yep. We're hopefully going to have guests every day, Monday through Friday, leading right up to the Daytona 500. Which, you know, it's a funny thing, Jonathan, for NASCAR fans, and they know it this way. You know, we think about the NFL and the Super Bowl comes at the end of the season. You know, it's the very last one.
Yeah.
Daytona is actually referred to as the Super Bowl of NASCAR, and it's the very first one.
Cool. So we got a lot of cool guests, man. It's going to be a nice racing week here on Fan Junkies Radio starting Friday up until hopefully next Friday. So
yep.
Good stuff. All right, Mike, let's talk a little hockey here. We still have our hat trick challenge going on here. And, of course, you and I have yet to score a hat trick against each other on our picks. And, you could pick 7 days a week, but our picks only count here on Fan Junkies Radio Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for our shows.
How did you do on – did you go 2-1 on Friday, Jonathan?
I can't even remember what I did on Friday, man. I will tell you right now. And I went 0-3.
On Friday?
Friday, yes, I did. I went against I think I went for or against the expert picks. I can't remember which one I did.
Okay. I went 1-2 on Friday. Okay. I thought you went 2-1.
All right. Went 0-3. So, all right, man. Let's get into today's questions real quick. Once again, we did make a league finally on hattrick.nhl.com. You can go there, create an account, and look for Fan Junkies Radio as a league. Join it and, just hang out with us and see if you could beat us in a hat trick challenge. Right now, it looks like anybody can. So.
Yeah, really. I found today's questions to be some of the toughest we've looked at since we started this.
I thought there were some of the easier ones. So,
this should be interesting.
Yeah, let's get on this. The first question is the ringer question. Will Phil Kessel of the Toronto Maple Leafs register at least 1 point against the Philadelphia Flyers tonight? Mike, what's your answer?
I found this question kind of difficult because when you take a look at where he is right now, he's scored 10 points so far, most of them helpers, 8 assists, I believe, in the last 12 games. So it's a tough call for me. I'm saying yes.
You say yes?
Yes.
I say yes as well. Which team will win between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders?
Islanders are favored in this one by a puck and a half. However, I'm going to go against the better judgment. I'm going to hit the Hurricanes.
Yes, I'm going Carolina as well. Third question and final question. Which team will win between the Phoenix Coyotes and the Colorado Avalanche?
I'm not sure why, but Colorado is favored in this one by a puck and a half. I am taking Colorado nonetheless.
I am taking Colorado as well, so there you go. I believe Colorado is in last place, Mike.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I was a little bit surprised that they were favored in this particular game.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I tend to like to go with the Avalanche every now and then for some reason. I don't know why, but I do.
Well, I think let me just take a look here real quick because okay, I made a mistake here. I didn't pull up the standings. The Colorado, are they on a four game? Did I see a four game losing streak? Or am I wrong?
Colorado is they actually lost two in a row now.
Two in a row. Okay, somebody else then. There was somebody else I was looking at that's on a four game.
It's actually a couple of you got Tampa Bay is on a four game losing streak. Let's see who else. And the New York Islanders are on a four game losing streak. That's probably who you're thinking about there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. All right. Well, anyhow, Colorado right now is 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, Colorado is not favored, but nonetheless, I took them.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at some of the games from yesterday, Mike. First game we got here, Red Wings and Kings. Red Wings won 3-2 against the 3-5-2 defending Stanley Cup champions here. Red Wings now 7-4-1 on the season. Detroit getting goals from Bruner, Datsyuk, and Erickson. You watched this game, Mike, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, I watched this game, and I got to tell you something. I'm pulling up the box score right now. Here's the thing that blew me away. First of all, Detroit had this game the entire first period. L.A. didn't even come to play. After the first period, however, it was all L.A., and they just – I got to tell you, Jimmy Howard, goaltender for the Red Wings, I hate to use the old line, you know, he stood on his head. That just sounds so stupid. But he literally did. The guy was absolutely incredible. He faced 47 shots, turned away 45 of them in a game that, frankly, in my opinion, the L.A. Kings should have won.
Mm.
And, in fact, they had tied the game with, I think, about 38 seconds left on the clock in the third period. And your thinking is, oh, okay, this game is going to overtime. Uh-uh. The Red Wings come back. And they scored one final one, 3-2, making it 3-2 with 4 seconds remaining on the clock. Incredible, incredible game. This is a game frankly, I think it's got to probably really take the wind out of the sails of the LA Kings, who are obviously struggling.
Yeah.
It's a struggling team. And to go in and to play as well as they did, particularly in the second and third period, put up as much offense as they did, and to come away with a loss, this has got to be very, very disheartening.
Yeah, the Kings just do not look like the team that they were last year, but they also started off slow last season as well, and they picked it up, and they basically got into the playoffs towards the last couple of games of the season last year. So probably not too much time to panic yet, but at the same time, it's a lockout shortened season, and everything counts now. So.
Yep. I mean, there are what are they, 3-5-2 in their last 10. They've lost two in a row. They currently they have the least number of points. They're tied with a bunch of other teams, but you got Anaheim up at the top at 17. I mean, already, see, in a strike-shortened year, Jonathan, I think the gap, that quick point gap, you know, like you're seeing right now, particularly in the Central Division,
yeah,
where you got Chicago all the way at the top with 22 points, and you got Columbus down there at the bottom at 8. When you're starting to see those kinds of gaps starting early, this season could be over real, real quick in light of the fact it's only going to be 48 games.
Yeah, real quick. And we said that many times before during the lockout and right after the lockout as well, Mike. Looking at a couple other games here last night. Devils beat the Penguins 3-1. Devils 19 points on the season now. Penguins 16. And the Devils are in first place there in the Atlantic, Mike.
Yep.
Also, Blackhawks beat the Predators 3-0. They got goals from Patrick Kane, Marcus Kruger, and Jonathan Toews. Blackhawks now 10-0-2, 22 points on the season, Mike.
The Blackhawks, to me, are, I might sound like an idiot here. Are they a surprise? To me, they are. I didn't expect Chicago to come out on a tear like this. Here's the other thing that's absolutely incredible, Jonathan, that you got to take into account with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, and we talked about this shortened schedule, and we talked about how they threw it together real quick. Take a look at what they've done on the road. They are 8-0-2 on the road. 10 of their 12 games have not been played at home.
Yeah,
there is no other team so far, I believe, that has had to play as many games on the road away from their own house as Chicago has.
They are blowing up, Mike, and they only getting better. Yesterday, Michael Roosevelt, former Ranger and Phoenix Coyotes defenseman, returning for them, first game back with them. You know, Brent Seabrook, Duncan Keith, Johnny Oduya, they got some really, really, really nice defense there, Mike. But at the same time, their goalies, Corey Crawford, Ray Emery, former Flyer there, getting the nod here and there, playing great hockey. I mean, the whole team has just been a big surprise, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, okay, and I guess that's my question. Is this a surprise? I think to many people it probably would be. We would have expected Detroit. We would have expected St. Louis. Chicago obviously is always going to be in the mix there.
Yeah.
You know, they've got most of their stars still with them. They didn't really lose anybody of any significance in this offseason. You're going to expect Chicago to be in there. You would have thought it was going to be a three-horse race between Chicago, Detroit, and St. Louis. And yet Chicago, as I pointed out, is starting to actually put some gaps there between, what are they, 7 points ahead of Detroit. They're 9 points ahead of St. Louis.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff going on there. And then let's talk about the Rangers game from last night. Rangers beat the Lightning 5-1. Both teams now 12 points. Rangers have won two in a row, and they're finally starting to look like a more cohesive unit now, Mike. Scoring 5 goals last night, you had Rick Nash notching his third on the season, Ryan Callahan, Carl Hagelin getting 2, Aaron Asham, the former almost every NHL team, getting his first goal with the Rangers last night, Mike. Lightning, they were scoring a lot of goals early on in this season. They were looking incredible, now only 6-5 on the season.
Right.
So, you know what, I guess the well really dried out for them real quick.
I wouldn't count them out just yet. I think they have the advantage of playing in a somewhat weaker division, so I wouldn't necessarily count them out completely yet. I think you're going to see the middle of the pack in the Atlantic continue to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, Philadelphia's going to play Toronto tonight. That should be a challenge for us here with the Flyers. But if they come out on top of that, you're going to see the middle of the pack go back and forth. I think you got to talk about Pittsburgh a little bit. You know, I mentioned that I did sit and watch that Pittsburgh Devils game last night. Excuse me. And one of the things that I pointed out to you, Jonathan, pre-show, that I was tremendously unimpressed with Pittsburgh. Tremendous offensive team. There's no doubt about it. Their defense looked absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And if that's going to be the kind of defense that you were going to run with, I think you're going to see Pittsburgh ending up second, third, maybe in the division. I don't see Jersey hanging in there. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? They only got one loss on the season, three overtime losses. They're 8-1-3, 19 points in first place. You know what? Eventually they're going to start to lose a little bit. They're on a 5-game win streak right now. It's tough.
Brodeur has been incredible.
Yeah, but I
really
mean, you know what? And it's guys like him that are possibly going to reap the benefits of a shortened season. So
absolutely, but I still anticipate that you're going to see the Rangers come up. The Flyers, I think, have to make a lot of. They're going to have to do a lot of. In the past couple of games, it's looked like they're starting to make some changes, some modifications. Maybe they're starting to gel a little bit, but. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't put them I would not put them as a bet to win the Atlantic. I'd put them maybe second, maybe third.
Yeah, well, you know what? When you're letting more goals against than, you know, scoring, it's going to hurt any team. That goes for the Islanders, that goes for the Flyers, and that goes for the, even Pittsburgh. They got 41 goals in the season, but they let up 32, Mike. So if it's not for them scoring goals, who knows where they would be in the standings now. Devils only let up 24 goals so far on the season. Rangers only 27, even though that they're in third place with 12 points. So
right. And
a little interesting.
Who's the best right now in the league in that particular department? How about Boston without Tim Thomas? 21 goals.
21 goals. Unbelievable, man. But I tell you.
But Chicago's got it all over it on the plus minus, plus 17.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got Boston has 21 goals against.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're 21, but their differential is a plus 8.
Yes, plus 8.
Where you got Chicago at a plus 17.
Plus 17 for them. You got a plus 9 for Vancouver, a plus 12 for San Jose.
Right.
Plus 9s for both the Devils and the Penguins as well, Mike. So, and then you got a plus 8 as well for Ottawa.
Yeah, that's why I'm anticipating that San Jose is going to rise to the top over there in the Pacific. I don't anticipate Anaheim staying where they are.
No, neither do I. All right, man, let's talk a little bit of basketball. We had a few games yesterday. Just going to throw out a few here. Heat down the Lakers, 107-97. And I believe for the Lakers, they're still in third place. They're still 11.5 games back behind the Clippers and Golden State, Mike.
Yep.
Still just a complete mess in L.A. The Lakers are a mess, man. It just doesn't look like it's going to get fixed anytime soon. You got the Celtics, triple overtime thriller over the Nuggets yesterday, 118-114. That's the seventh win in a row for the Celtics, Mike.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep. We've talked about it now on, two different shows? That's without Rondo.
Yes, without Rondo. And I still cannot believe that. Magic finally won. They stopped a 12-game slide, Mike. They beat the Trailblazers yesterday. Spurs, Jay, I just don't know what's going on in San Antonio. I don't know what kind of water they're drinking. They down Brooklyn. Big help for the Knicks because the Knicks lost yesterday against the Clippers, 102-88. We both watched that game, Mike.
Yep.
Don't know what the hell was going on there. Knicks defense was just awful yesterday, but Carmelo Anthony is still looking at, as good as he has all season long.
I'll say this, though, Jonathan, with due respect to your Knicks, the Clippers just looked like a better team.
Oh, and I said that. You know, the Clippers are a better team, but if they didn't have Chris Paul yesterday, who knows what would have happened. Los Angeles has looked awful without Chris Paul, and you saw the difference in this Los Angeles Clippers team with Chris Paul coming back. I mean, he gets everything right on the court. Everything.
Yep.
Everything. Jamal Crawford, who we spoke about before the season, Mike, and I said he was going to be a big boost for them off the bench, he's going to have to be the sixth man of the year already. I mean, he's just been phenomenal. Lights out. Mm-hmm. Shooting lights out. Let's look a little bit at the standings here, Mike. Any surprises to you in the NBA standings of teams that are maybe doing even better than they should be doing, or teams that are in last place that should be doing a lot better?
Well, I've marveled all season long at the give and take back and forth that's going on between Indiana and Chicago. That's somewhat of a surprise to me. I didn't anticipate Indiana being quite what they have been. I didn't think they had the staying power when they first started out early on in the season and they were leading on. I was thinking, okay, well, that's gonna drop off.
Well, you know, and it's only gonna get better. Danny Granger returns, I believe, Wednesday night for the Indiana Pacers. Derrick Rose still out. He's gonna come back very, very soon, Mike.
Right.
Once Derrick Rose comes back and Danny Granger comes back, it's gonna be a different Central.
I would agree. But until, I mean, this is to me, I think that's the most competitive, fun looking. You know, when I look down the standings, that's the most interesting looking and fun division to look at.
Yeah.
Miami really pulling out in the head now, 7.5 games in front of Atlanta. I made the comment last night, and I've never been a big LeBron fan, but when you're hitting 5 games in a row of 30 points and breaking setting a new franchise record, I gotta start saying to myself, this guy truly is the dominant type of character that we've been expecting to see.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a bunch of people talking about it yesterday, Michael Wilpon, Magic Johnson, and they said that him winning the championship is what put the icing on the cake for him to play the way he's playing. It's probably the best everybody's ever seen LeBron James play in the NBA. So,
without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of us who have been following basketball, we follow it to see what LeBron's doing. And a lot of the times we've come away, maybe a little bit overrated. So far, not this year. I mean, it's really it really looks like a different LeBron out there on the court.
Yeah, definitely does.
San Antonio is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you talk about, and I'm not saying that's a surprise. San Antonio is not a surprise, but my gosh, the dominance that they're showing over in the West is just incredible.
Yeah,
and OKC as well.
OKC has just been lighten it up. You got to give props to the Nuggets, though. They're only 6.5 games back. Not many people really thought Denver was going to be 33-19 at this point. You know what? You look at the standings, they're going into the playoffs.
You know, it's almost kind of a shame. If Denver were in a different division, they'd be leading. 9-1 in their last 10. A 33-19 record is very, very respectable.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But because they happen to be in the same division with OKC, they're 6.5 games out.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal what they've been able to do. You know what, if we look at the standings right now, here are the teams that would be making the playoffs today. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Clippers, Memphis, Denver, Golden State, Utah, Houston. Houston would get in there.
Wow.
12.5 games back. They're starting to win a little bit.
Wow.
28-25 right now, but Portland is right behind them, I believe, by 2 games. Eastern Conference, Miami, New York, Indiana, Chicago, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Boston, Milwaukee. Philadelphia right behind them, Mike.
Milwaukee, how about that?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
How about that?
Yeah, but they're right behind them. So Philadelphia's right there at 22-27. That's pretty bad that a losing record could possibly get Philadelphia into the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. Listen, I don't think you're going to see anybody get in with a losing record.
I don't know. You know what? If it keeps going this way, I mean, because if you look at the bottom of the Heat, Mike, we got some terrible, terrible, terrible teams in the NBA. From the Bobcats to the Wizards, to the Magic, to the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. Look over at the Western Conference. The Suns, Hornets, Kings,
yeah.
Minnesota, awful, awful records. 18-30 for Minnesota. Phoenix is 17-35. Charlotte Bobcats 11-39.
Right, right.
Awful.
Well, awful. Let's hope for us purists out there that we don't see any losing records get into the playoffs, because I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah. Well,
we've talked about that sort of thing before on, you know, when it comes to football and that sort of thing, and I don't want to see it happen. Even in these sports where, you know, numerous teams get into the playoffs, you don't want to see a losing record get into the playoffs. That's not the way to reward things.
No, absolutely not. But we'll see how it shapes up. Hopefully there won't be any losing teams going into the playoffs. But if it keeps up this way, Mike, it's going to eventually happen. So
All-Star game when? Sunday.
Sunday.
All-Star breaks, I think, start for most teams following, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
I know the game itself is on Sunday. The skills competition and everything is on Saturday, so I'm thinking the last game will be Thursday.
Thursday, that would be my guess as well. Where are we playing that this year?
Houston.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought it was Houston. Okay.
I didn't even look. But actually, I'm a little excited. We got James White from the Knicks in the slam dunk contest. Steve Novak from the Knicks in the three-point shootout. So I'm a little excited about that, Mike. As I said, I've always enjoyed the three-point shootout. I think that's something that will always be exciting as an all-star competition. Slam dunk contest, though, I think whatever could be done has been done, and that's it. So,
yeah, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
That gets a little bit boring.
Yeah, a little boring. Just a little bit, right?
Yeah,
a little bit. Okay, let me see what we got here. Okay, well, we're going to play a clip for everybody now, Mike.
Yeah.
We had former MLB catcher Kelly Stinnett, who played with the New York Yankees, the Diamondbacks, the Mets, the Royals, the Reds, the Phillies for a little while. You name it, he played with them. We had him on as a guest on Friday during MLB week here on Fan Junkies Radio. And, Mike, you turned around and you asked Kelly Stinnett about PEDs, how it's still affecting baseball, and then we asked him how it's, you know, how it affected the Hall of Fame class. But because Kelly Stinnett does a lot of work with the youth nowadays, you asked him, how is it affecting our youth? Do you hear anybody really talking about it? What's going on there? We got some refreshing remarks and comments from Kelly Stinnett that we're going to play right now, Mike. So
yeah, we didn't expect, neither Jonathan or I expected the kind of responses that we got here. Very, very honest, very refreshing. And Jonathan, this particular clip, it's gotten quite a bit of traction over the weekend from many websites.
Yes.
All across the country. They've been picking up Kelly Stinnett's comments here. And I think let's, real quick before you play it, throw the number out there because, you know, I would love to hear from anybody that would like to make comments on it. I played it on Saturday during 5 minutes at the Frat House, and we had a couple of people call in.
Okay. So basically in the next 8 to 9 minutes, because the clip is about 8 minutes, we're going to take some phone calls from everybody, 347-237-5373. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about Kelly's comments. Is it refreshing to you? Do you think Kelly's wrong? Do you think he's right? Let us know, because that's what we want to hear. So I'm going to play it right now. So we'll get back with you in 8 minutes. And here is Kelly Stinnett's clip from Friday's show about PEDU still going on in Major League Baseball.
let me throw one at you. And I'm thrilled to hear that you're working with so many young people. And there's a reason I'm going to bring this one up. We just had the story come out last week, and here we go again with PED usage. We got the clinic down there in Florida, and I don't even think at this point yet we've scratched the surface on what this might all mean. You played at the height of the steroid era. I guess really the big height of it, I guess, was 98, 99, somewhere in there, the year that McGuire hit 70 home runs. First of all, I guess the question I would ask you is this. Going back to that era, how prevalent was it to you as a player? That's number one. Number two, how do you feel about what's happening right now? And then number three, how are we dealing with it with the young people today?
Well, I think it's kind of with young people, you know, we emphasize, hey, just, you know, you're right, get your workouts in. You know, it's kind of a joke sometimes now to young guys. So, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But hopefully it's like, okay, it's a joke to where I'm not going to do that. You know, when I played, it was more, you know, you knew who was taken. You kind of, well, you say, you know, you kind of, okay, I think he's doing it, what have you. You know, it was one of those things. You know, you just go about your business. I knew I wasn't doing it. I just wore my butt off 6 o'clock every morning going lifting weights. Probably wouldn't be talking to you now if I did because, you know, I'd be off in a desert island somewhere because they hit 40 or 50 home runs every year, you know, instead of my 10 to 15. But, you know, that's the choices we make. You know, I like the direction they're going, you know, clean it up. You know, I think there ought to be stiffer penalties now. You know, what's... you know, one time, you know, two times, whatever, you know, we need to make it a little stiffer. We need to penalize these guys down the road, too. Like, you know, I'm a couple years away from collecting my pension. You know, we need to hit these guys down the road, further. Because you get away with it, you know, like Melky got that big deal for Toronto. I mean, that's a joke, really, in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, he got busted. Now he's in this thing, and he got $17 million for having one good year. I mean, that's, you know, so some of the guys that bust their butt every day and done it the right way, that's not fair because he's taking money out of somebody else's pocket that did it the right way. So that's one thing that irritates me as a former player and current, you know, just a fan of the game. You know, why let this guy keep going? Let's do something to these guys down the road to, you know, take money out of their pocket, you know, penalize them because, you know, obviously you look back all the catchers that done it, you know, it irritates me as well because I know these guys took money out of my pocket, you know, during my playing days. So, but you live with it, you deal with it, and you just keep plugging along.
You know, I know that there's a bit of a fraternity that goes on with players and former players. Let me ask you with regard to, say, Hall of Fame status. You know, we're seeing the influence right now this year on the whole steroid era and how that's influenced the Hall of Fame. Should some of these guys just not be, when you talk about penalties and what have you, should the penalties be that you just can't get into the hall?
I mean, that could be one. That would be a great one right there. And like you said, you see it this year. You know, anybody with any kind of tainted playing career or associated or that was verbally say, hey, I did them, you know, keep them out. You know, it's just a cut and dry thing. Just no. You know, you did it. You don't go to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Because, Mike, you know what? We said it ourselves, you know, to us, with this Hall of Fame ballot this year, the guys being on it that were on it, the Maguires, the Bonds, the Palmeros, they squeezed a lot of votes away from guys like Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, guys that should have got in this season. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's a real shame.
Exactly.
Really is a real shame. All right.
Unfortunately, a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's hurting a lot of people that deserve to be in there, you know, and especially, like Kelly said, it hurt a lot of people that deserve to make some type of money, and it's taking it out of their pockets. It's a real shame.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, why not just don't even put the names on the ballot anymore? I mean, you said there's a trickle-down effect. Let's just not even put them on there, and that way people, the voters, are focused on the guys that did it the right way.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any kind of evidence that you've done it or you admitted to doing it, just nicks you off the ballot, and let's move on.
Well, let me say this to you, Kelly. From a fan perspective and from an analyst perspective, somebody in the media, I appreciate your refreshing response to that as a former player. I'm concerned sometimes when I bring these types of issues up to former players that, again, like I said, there's that kind of fraternity where everybody's just going to back everybody, and I appreciate you being honest on it.
Well, I mean, you try. I mean, just like I tell the kids every day, I said, hey, I'm gonna give my honest opinion, my honest evaluation of you because I want you to get better. You know, and there's no, you know, everybody knows by now who had a pretty good idea of who juiced during those days. So, you know, it's kind of cut and dry. And, you know, maybe you call me a bitter old guy. I mean, you have, I guess, let the fans get around Reggie Jackson and some of those guys that played. You're talking about guys that, you know, will lay it on the line and let you know what they think. You know, you got to respect that. And that's where I want to be is, hey, you know, this is the way it is. Let's do it this way. Let's clean it up and get it going right. That way, you know, we don't have to worry about this down the road. My kids don't have to worry about this when they start, you know, getting that age where they have a chance to play at that level.
Excellent.
Yeah, really refreshing. Okay. Kelly, seriously, man, you know, thank you so much for, you know, not only joining us today, but, you know, telling us and saying the comments that you said today. It's really nice to hear a former professional athlete come out and say stuff like that, because that's stuff that we need to hear, and it's stuff that we're not hearing on an everyday basis, unfortunately.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
It really
is. I mean, obviously during the years, I mean, it's not, you know, you've had a lot of great teammates. You've been in a lot of battles or a lot of games with these guys, and, you know, you respect them on the field and all that stuff. But, you know, the way you go about it, you know, it's, you know, you choose your path, and if you did it the wrong way, you should pay. If you did it the right way, you know, you should be somewhat rewarded. So that's just the way I see it.
Great, great, awesome. Well, Kelly, seriously, thank you so much for joining us today and taking the time out of your schedule. I know you probably could have been patching some holes in nets today instead of talking to us.
No, I appreciate you guys giving me a break. I appreciate it. No.
we thank you for being on.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime, just let me know what I can do for you guys in the future.
That's great.
Same for you, man. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was the replay of Kelly Sinnott's comments on PEDs and steroids and illegal drugs in Major League Baseball during the days he was a player, and what's going on now with all the reported lists coming out in Florida. But, you know, Mike, after you heard the comments, what was the first thing you thought of?
I was absolutely astounded. You know, you and I talked about it after the show, after we were off the air. And I said, you know, I at the moment that I was going in and asking that those types of questions, I was treading softly because, you know, you never want to necessarily put a former big leaguer on the spot to the extent that, you know, I didn't want him to think I was asking him to name names. I just wanted to get his kind of general overall impression. And what we got, and as I'm hearing it live, you know, as it's coming through my headphones, as he's talking, I'm sitting here, as I say, right in the interview on Friday. My jaw dropped. I didn't expect him to be as forthright, honest. And, you know, as I pointed out on Saturday on 5 Minutes with Fred House, there's an emotion in there, Jonathan, that we really didn't talk about on Friday. There's an anger. You know, there's a resentment there from Kelly Sinnott. He's angry at the fact that folks would do this.
Yeah.
And not only potentially, as he points out, hurt his own career, but hurt others' careers as well.
Yeah.
And that's a very personal thing. That's a very emotional thing.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? It really doesn't take many to tarnish something, Mike. In regards to Major League Baseball, it didn't have to be many to tarnish the game because the people who tarnished it were the faces of the game when this all came down, Mike. You know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, the Roger Clemens, whoever was thrown into the loop that we somehow know either did something, you know, something illegal, something bad, something one thing or another that tarnished the game of baseball. It's been done ever since. And
all the more reason now, Jonathan, why you and I – and, you know, I kind of, you know, I don't want to call myself an old-timer, but, you know, we, you know, myself, who've been following the game for 35, 40 years, we look at it now and you say, well, these were the guys that were the face of the baseball. And we look at it now and question, well, were they the face of baseball because?
Well, that's the thing. You know, coming off of a time when,
you know, towards the end there, it was Cal Ripken Jr. You know, it was Don Mattingly. It was a couple of those guys. You know, some former Mets that were big in those days, Keith Hernandez, whatnot. And then here we go. We get into this whole group of, you know, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, whatever. And their impact on the game was so tremendous at the time that we were like, wow, the game of baseball is evolving again.
Yeah.
You know, it's going into a whole new just a whole new category, you know, with a whole new genre of power hitting, of getting on base and whatnot. And then here comes the steroid stuff, the whole Balco thing, the whole Conti thing. And it's just a real shame, you know, to me, you know, it should have been guys like Fred McGriff, like Craig Biggio, that should have been the face of the sport now instead of these guys. And these are the guys that, in my mind, Mike, and in my opinion, were hurt with their Hall of Fame chances this year because of the Bonds, the Sosas, the Palmeiros, and the McGuires.
And
we asked Kelly about that, too, and he agreed.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it, here's part of the problem with it all, is that from a fan perspective, I know from my own personal perspective, and, you know, 347-237-5373, jump in on this conversation real quick before we move off of it. From my perspective, I now look at that entire era, and I don't care who it was that was playing then. I look at the whole thing with a big old question mark.
Well, yeah.
I just say to myself, but it was all artificial.
Well,
I think the other thing, though, that is very, very disappointing here is that here we are, we're at 2012, 2013, and we were told and assured by our commissioner that the days were gone, and yet we're finding out that's not the case.
Well, you know what, and one of the prime examples is Melky Cabrera being banned, and then all of a sudden, what does he get, a $17 million deal from Toronto, and, you know, Kelly Stinnett called that one right out. He called the Blue Jays a joke, and he said the deal with Melky Cabrera was a real joke. I mean, there's still room for improvement, lots of improvement. The penalties need to be stiffer, and when you're banned from the sport of baseball, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be allowed to sign a contract.
Right.
With a team. Once you're banned, you're banned. You should be out until your suspension is over, and then we'll revisit it and see if we can get you signed to a team. But as Melky Cabrera is suspended, because I believe that he still has some games he's suspended for, right, at the start of the season?
I believe so.
Okay, but look, he's sitting home. He's not being punished by anything because he just signed a ridiculous contract with Toronto. It's ridiculous, Mike.
Well, and what's always been the concept of quote-unquote punishment.
Yeah.
The concept of punishment, and I don't care whether we're talking about children or if we're talking about adults who are incarcerated, the concept was that by punishing, you would reform your ways. Well, if we're not punishing, then there's no belief that potentially you're going to change your ways.
Yes, I agree. I mean, listen, man, you just look
instead
at some of the suspensions.
We're going to reward with a $17 million contract. I mean, think about that.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, you know what? You look at the last couple of suspensions. You have Melky Cabrera, Marlon Byrd, 50 games, Bartolo Colon, 50 games. All three of those guys signed new deals with new teams while they're suspended.
Right.
You know what? Even people from before, Manny Ramirez with two. He's out of baseball now. Jose Guillen with one. Mike Cameron had a suspension for a failed drug performance back in 2007. Philadelphia Phillies, Carlos Ruiz now, 25-game suspension. You know, that was announced in November. So it's just ongoing, Mike. I don't know, man. It's ridiculous, man. And you know what? Like Kelly Stinnett said, there needs to be stiffer penalties because by doing this and treating these guys with kids' gloves, it's never going to change.
Well, okay, and see, that's where I kind of – and let me back up on your comment there that you just said. It's never going to change. Because I addressed this a little bit on Saturday's 5 Minutes at the Frat House right here on Fan Junkies Radio Network. Some of the things that I have been disturbed about hearing from analysts and from sports talk people and from columnists and what have you, particularly following the fact that we were unable to come up with a Hall of Fame class – for this upcoming August, I guess, is when.
Which is a travesty. Damn shame.
One of the things that I have heard is, look, just leave it alone. They're all doing it. Everybody's going to do it. There's always going to be somebody out there trying to get an extra edge. You're never going to be able to get rid of it. Just forget about it. Don't worry about the asterisks. Just recognize everybody was doing it and recognize it for what it was and just put them in. And I don't think that we can put our head in the sand that way.
No, and, you know, we shouldn't be able to, and we shouldn't have to. I'm sorry. Just, you know, these guys did what they did, and they ruined it for other people. And it's still ongoing now, Mike, from the mid to late 90s when all of this stuff was going on. We're in 2013 now, and guys like Fred McGriff and Craig Biggio had to suffer for it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And what? We're supposed to just forgive and forget, turn around, put these guys and enshrine them in Cooperstown so people can look at them years down the line without no asterisk next name, without knowing the whole story and saying, wow, these guys were phenomenal players. I wish I was around to watch them. No, because now simply I was around to watch them and I wish I wasn't because I was let down as a baseball fan.
Right.
And that's one of the main reasons why I just don't care about baseball now, Mike.
And I, for one, I'll tell you, you know, as disappointing as it might be, I, for one, wouldn't give a damn if there isn't a Hall of Fame class for the next 4 or 5 years. If this is going to be the issue that we have to deal with for the upcoming years.
Yeah.
Send the message and send it loud, folks.
Yeah. But it's
that's
a shame.
You know what?
Yeah, but you know what? Now you look at these guys that run the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot that played 30, 40, 50 years ago that couldn't get in. It's a shame. You know? It's a shame. These guys weren't doing any of that stuff back then. I'm sure they were doing, like, coke and stuff. But, I mean, let me tell you, that's not a performance-enhancing drug. You know, but like guys like Dale Murphy and whatnot, they should have gotten in. I mean, the votes that went to Sosa, McGuire, Palmeiro, and Bonds and Clemens, to me, and we spoke about that, that squeezed good votes and deserving votes away from players that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame this year, Mike.
There's no doubt about it. That's exactly what happened. It siphoned it off. Plus, you had the disadvantage of an extremely long ballot. There were a lot of names on there this particular year. But, you know, you got to question, and of course, obviously, the voting is anonymous. You've got to question and wonder, who the hell is voting for these guys? Seriously?
Well, it's these freaking writers, man. It's the media. They're out of their freaking minds. I'm sorry, but they should be ashamed of themselves for taking away votes from deserving players and putting them towards these guys who were just downright cheaters and liars. I mean,
yeah, would they be willing to come on my show right now, right here with you and I?
No, of course.
And tell us that they did, that you voted for these guys? Because
no.
I'll tell you, I might love to hear from one of them.
Because what they're going to do is they're going to write it in a little article, they're going to post it in their newspaper, their magazine, and they're not going to want to listen to any fan feedback because that's just the way most media, you know, members are. It's disgusting.
Frankly, I think that if there's a media person out there that voted for Barry Bonds or McGuire or one of these people, I don't think they have the guts enough to admit it.
No, they don't. They don't, and they won't. It's a shame. Honestly, I would have taken my votes away from those guys. I would have gave them to Aaron Sealy. I would have liked to have seen Aaron Sealy get more votes. You know, and that's not saying he's a Hall of Famer. I'd just rather give it to somebody who did it the right way. You know, it didn't have to be Craig Biggio. It didn't have to be Fred McGriff. Give it to somebody towards the end of the line. Just let them – I mean, give it to the players who deserve it and who did it the right way. And that's why we look at guys like Eric Valente. We look at guys like Kelly Stinnett, who we had on last week. They did it the right way, and they weren't superstars, Mike.
Right.
You know, they were role players. And you know what? That's what the game needs. And unfortunately, you know, what happened there, and you know what? I read The Game of Shadows. I read a bunch of Jeff Perlman's books about Bonds. You know, Howard Bryant's book. I read all into this. I really covered the whole Balco stuff, the PED stuff. I was sick to read some of the stuff that I read, Mike, and it's stuff that really needs to be out there because, I hate to say it, 95% of Major League Baseball fans still don't know what the hell went down because they're either too lazy to find out or they're too lazy to read these books and to realize what really went down, and yet they're still the ones rooting for these guys that cheated the game of baseball and cheated the fans.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to issue a standing challenge to any media type out there that, in fact, voted for one of these guys in this past election. If any of you out there, and you've got the guts enough to call this show and explain to us why you did it and justify it, I'll tell you right now, I'd have a hell of a lot more respect for you.
No, absolutely. If we can get somebody who voted for Barry Bonds or who voted for Rafael Palmeiro, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, whatever. If they want to talk and then they actually can admit it and give us their reasoning, I'll respect that reasoning. I will respect their opinion. It doesn't mean it's the right one, but I will respect it. And you know what? I will definitely have a little more respect for them for actually coming out and saying, yes, this is who I voted for. So.
And for being honest, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think there's anybody out there. I would dare any media person to be openly honest about the fact that they voted for Rafael Palmeiro.
Listen,
Listen, Mike, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to make this bold statement. As long as there's guys like McGuire and Bonds and Palmeiro on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, and as long as there are guys like the Carlos Ruizes, like the Marlon Byrds, like the Melky Cabreras that are still failing drug tests, the whole game is dishonest.
And that's the unfortunate part.
It is. Because it is a good game, and it's unfortunately, like everything else in the world, when it's ruined by a few, it's ruined for all. And I still don't even want to find my way back into being a 24/7 nonstop watching baseball fan, because I'm still, you know, scarred from all the stuff that transpired over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
That's just the case.
Well, that's a shame.
It is. But listen, Kelly Stinnett, once again, we thank you for your refreshing comments, and it was a blast to have you on Friday, and we definitely have to have him back on in the future.
And look at what he's done. He's generated a lot of debate, I mean, which is terrific, and that's what needs to happen. There needs to be debate on this.
Well, you ain't hearing other players coming out and saying this stuff. You know, it's nice. And unfortunately, if Kelly Stinnett was a superstar player known to 99% of the baseball fan base, and he said this, he
would have been all over sports.
He would have been all over the place.
All over SportsCenter.
But because it was Kelly Stinnett, who, in my right mind, should have the credibility because he was a 14-year Major League Baseball veteran that people know of and a role player for many, many good winning baseball teams, it should get out there and be all over SportsCenter. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Stature shouldn't matter when you have that many years in baseball, Mike.
I agree.
All right, Mike, let's go for that. And real quick, we got 8 minutes left in the show. Why don't you give us a little bit of an NCAA update?
Well, you know, it's funny, Jonathan, because thank God for Kelly Stinnett. He did me a great service because during that 8 minutes that we were playing that clip, I was able to actually go and find, apparently, the newest AP top 25 poll has been released, and I do now have it.
Nice.
But I mentioned that yesterday I was checking out the Duke – Blue Devils against the Boston College Eagles, and Duke's ranked number four. That game came down to the final seconds, and Duke only won by one. Now, this was you might sit there and say, well, okay, so what? Well, so what? Here's the problem. Duke was ranked number four. Everybody above Duke, numbers one, two, three, and number five, which I believe included Indiana, Florida, Michigan – number five, I think, Syracuse, maybe, all lost. And so, therefore, if Duke had lost, one could have expected the NCAA rankings to look really quite interesting as we went forward. Here we are. We're right now, we are about two and a half weeks away from conference tournaments, and things are really starting to get shook up. So, let me run it down for you real quick. As we know it right now, this is the current AP poll. Indiana is ranked number one. Duke now moves up from number four to number two. Miami, Florida moves up. This is an incredible one. Moves up from number eight to number three. Michigan drops down to number four. Gonzaga moves up to number five. Syracuse is now at six. Florida has dropped an incredible five spots down to number seven. Michigan State's in there. Kansas State came up to number 10 from number 13. Louisville's still in there. Ohio State dropped. Excuse me. Ohio State dropped down to number 13 from number 10. The biggest drop here was the Kansas Jayhawks, who dropped from number 5 to number 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kentucky is now at the bottom of the list at number 25. And Colorado State joins the top 25 list at number 24, as does Memphis, and the Wisconsin Badgers are at number 20.
So is Notre Dame off the list now?
Oh, excuse me. I am so sorry. Notre Dame has actually moved up to number 21.
Oh, wow. They moved up.
Yeah, they moved up.
Huh. I had a feeling that they were going to drop off the list this week, but I guess not.
No, they actually had a very, very good week. It was the top portion. It was the top five, top six, top seven that didn't do very well. Kansas is the biggest drop.
Well, I was going to say, you said that there was a lot of upsets, right, over the last week?
Tremendous amount of upsets. Yeah. You know, Michigan lost one this week. Syracuse lost. Indiana lost. Michigan lost a couple of them. Florida lost a couple. So this is why we're seeing this turnover.
Yeah. All right.
But as we get closer and closer and closer to the next 2.5 weeks, this is all going to have a tremendous impact.
And I'm
on the NCAA bids.
And you're definitely looking forward to that, aren't you, Mike?
I can't wait. I'm this is my time of year. I'm really into it.
Real nice, real nice.
That's
all
why
right.
I spent as much time as I did this morning, as you well know, trying to find the top 25 poll. You heard me this morning pre-show. I'm going, where is the top 25 poll?
Well, you found it, so. And we can thank Kelly Stinnett once again for that, for giving us the time for you to find it. So
there you go.
It's always good stuff. All right, Mike. Well,
NCAA update.
There you go, man. All right. Well, we got a little over 4 minutes left in the show. We were going to talk some NFL free agents here, but we're going to save that for Wednesday's show after we speak with our guest, Dwight Baird. Once again, Dwight Baird is a board game maker. He made a baseball board game called Extra Innings, and you can take a look at that at extrainningsgame.com, but it's spelled with an X, X-T-R-A. So it's X-T-R-A, inningsgame.com. Real action, real strategy, real baseball. You choose every pitch. You manage the game through your cards. It's a wonderful, wonderful learning tool, not only for adults of the game who want to get a better understanding of it, but it's also a great learning tool for your kids who may be in Little League, who may be in T-ball, that you want to teach the rules of the game, basically pitching, just everything based around baseball. Really, really good stuff. Check it out there. Order it. We have one here at Fan Junkies Radio. We've had a blast with it. So we're going to talk to Dwight about that on Wednesday, and then after Dwight, we'll get into our NFL free agent. So once again, Dwight Baird will join us Wednesday at around the 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time mark. Here on Fan Junkies Radio, and we're actually looking really, really forward to that, Mike, because it's a great game and we love it. So.
Well, and this is a game, too, that, as I pointed out, the kids won't burn their eyes out staring at a computer screen or at the television.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a fun, fun game. And the great thing is that it also includes a minor league edition of the game.
Oh, really?
Inside the box. So for the price you get it, it's a real reasonable price. I believe it is $29, Mike, which in board game standards these days is really not that expensive, because I've seen board games going up to $40, $50, $60 in some stores.
Oh, yeah, the Deluxe Scrabble. I just purchased one of those a little while ago, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That thing was like $45.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do you get with this game, John? You get the little like dog and the hat and the things jumping around the board? Oh no, that's that other game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's that other game.
That's that other game. Yeah, yeah. They went and changed the characters in that other game, didn't they?
Listen, man, don't even get me started on that, because I'm already mad about it.
What they add? Candy canes or something? I forgot they added something.
They added a cat.
Oh, they added the cat. That's
took
right.
Took the iron out and added a cat.
Oh, you can't take the iron out.
They're going towards more about what America is now. So basically,
oh,
I guess no
one wears sure,
anymore
see
because
everyone walks
around in wrinkled clothes. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, who uses an iron anymore?
Exactly. Real shame. But anyway, check it out once again, extrainningsgame.com. Tell Dwight Baird, Fan Junkies Radio sent you. A phenomenal game. We're trying to push it as best as we can because we have a blast with it. As always, check out FriedHouseSports.net. You can check out Mike and Sidekick over there. Great content going up, and as well as the 5 minutes of the Fried House video that is also replayed here audio-wise on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep.
And FanJunkies.net. Check it out. Sports Social Network, and it's a Facebook for sports fans only. Great stuff. We have every team, every league, every sport that you can think of on there. It's 100% free. Sign up. Have some fun with us. Great times over there. All right, well, that's it for Fan Junkies Radio today. We want to thank everybody for tuning in here, and we will see you all on Wednesday as Dwight Baird, maker of Extra Innings Baseball, joins us. So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Rackett. See you on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.